up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Podcast.
They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5. Horoscopes.
Aries. Your mind should be especially quick and powerful today, and you may want to do some in-depth research on a subject that fascinates you.
Taurus. Some vivid, beautiful dreams or visions could awaken you to new opportunities. Take advantage of them, explore it, and see where they lead. You might find your destiny there.
Gemini.
Your mind may be inspired by a charismatic person whose conversation stimulates new insights. There may also be some attraction there, Gemini, and the feeling might just be mutual.
Cancer.
Perhaps a public figure or an author has captured your attention today. You should familiarize yourself with as much of this person's work as possible. Valuable insights could prove very useful in the future.
Leo.
We might meet some interesting people at a party or group activity today. People from whom you could learn a lot from. Make sure to get their contact info and send them a DM or maybe a little text so you can stay in touch.
Virgo.
Your career may undergo some major upheaval, but it will likely end up very positive for you. So stay focused, Virgo.
Libra.
Social events will introduce you to a person who you might find very charming. Potential for romance is there. If nothing else, this person might steer you in a new intellectual or spiritual direction. Embrace it.
Scorpio.
You've been focused on a project that means a lot to you. Keep it up. You should get a lot accomplished today.
Sagittarius.
An intense discussion with your romantic partner is going to happen today. Marriage, children, a new home. Whatever the topic is, it's going to be a big one.
Capricorn.
You and the other members of your household might discuss the possibility of making some changes today. This is good for you, so don't fear taking the first steps.
Aquarius.
You might be inspired to write today, Aquarius. It could be as simple as a letter or an email to a friend, or it could be as creative as a novel, an essay, screenplay, or a poem.
Pisces.
Money-related paperwork needs to be completed today, Pisces, which could result in a settlement, a new commission, or even a bonus. The sooner you get it done, the sooner you can enjoy the money.
Nice. Okay, all your horoscopes, check them out at chum1045.com on the Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar page.
Good morning, everyone.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
Guess what I did yesterday?
You went outside. How am I doing so far? And you took in the fresh air and then you went back inside and you... What?
I went to a gym. I went to a gymnasium.
Wow.
I did the resistance things. Ah!
So you went outside.
Yeah. And
then you went in,
inside.
Inside. Well, good for
and
you.
And I exerted myself to the point of exhaustion.
Someone check the downstairs underworld for snow.
Right?
Good
there was
you.
There was no pizza there. There were no rum beverages.
No.
It was just me.
A different kind of club.
And the testosterone.
All right. Did you do weights yesterday? Aerobics? Aerobic weights?
Not a whole lot of weights. A friend of mine convinced me to go get one in with him. And it was a great, great thing. And
good.
I have to give him credit because he's been trying to convince me to get into a gym for like over a year now.
Yeah. Well,
and I've been ignoring him for like over a year. Like, hey, wait, do I know you? What's your name, man? Like, hey, oh, yeah, you. But I got in there and I did a lot of resistance and body.
Good.
Kind of like.
Is he a trainer kind of guy or is just.
Yeah. Start a trainer. A lot of resistance stuff, not a whole lot of free weights. Like, you really don't need that stuff. I mean, you can use them.
Depends on who you are.
Yeah, you can use them, but you don't have to. You could do, like, a lot of bands and, you know, crunches and just things using your own body weight to create
some kind
of... You're
talking my Tuesday and Thursday, Jamar.
Don't I sound like I'm informed and
you are
in
informed.
Shape?
But I love it. Listen, we've been hibernating, and it's hard when people, I love your friend, because he's saying, come on, come on. And finally, something clicked, and you went, you know what, I'm going to do it.
You know what it was?
What it was.
It was stepping out of my house yesterday
and
smelling the air. And the air yesterday had a taste of spring. You know, that little humidity it didn't have that chill on it that let me feel like it was still winter and I still had some place to hide. There's nowhere place to hide anymore.
Yeah. No.
So I said, Caitlin
and I like to hide behind our cable knit sweaters. That's where we like to hide.
Totally.
Yeah, so it's harder to work out in the winter. I got you.
I said, there's no hiding. Soon I'm going to have to reveal. And I don't want to do a big reveal, so let's get inside.
You mentioned Caravana yesterday. You went, I'm better get
it. It's all of that, Marilyn. Yeah. And there are some people who have been working on their road body, as we call it, you know, looking good for the road, from like last year.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They're looking like Avengers out there already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
There's two camps.
Yeah.
There's the people who've gained weight. Hello.
Right.
Welcome. Welcome.
Right. Hi. I'm a card-carrying member.
Me too. I actually could be the president. Yeah. And then they're on the other side. They're people that have like, you know what? I got this opportunity. I'm going to change it. That's my husband and so many other friends that I have. So, it's never too late. That's what I love about
this
story.
But, and if anything, it's more about, mental health awareness, trying to make sure that, you know, when I feel good on the body side, I feel good on the mind
side
as well.
Get a better sleep, too.
Yeah,
it does do that. It's funny. Vanity pushes you to get into the gym. And then when you're there regularly, you're like, oh, yeah, this is good for my mental health and well-being.
Vanity and waistbands.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Gotta get into those jeans. All right.
So to those out doing the runs and doing the sit-ups and the push-ups right now, because somebody definitely is, instead of shaming you this morning, I will say, do it.
Yeah.
Get it done.
You're talking to a lot of joggers I saw coming in this morning.
Really?
Well, the weather's, like you said, is perfect for it.
Yeah, it's good for it. It's good for it. Okay, so here's to a good morning with some good physical and mental stuff.
Wake up, Toronto. Let's keep it moving.
Good morning. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
Talk about a stop.
Yeah.
We're talking about what happened yesterday with the Raptors as they stopped the elimination in a very, very, very stunning contest yesterday, which was mostly a defensive effort from what I'm reading. I did not catch the game.
I didn't catch the game either, but it was, I see the Philadelphia fans just started walking out.
Yeah.
103-88.
They walked out.
They booed them.
Kayla Gray's gone, you know, from TSN.
No, guys, this is not a surprise. This is Philadelphia.
Toronto would never. We will stand outside in the rain, outside of the arena, and cheer the whole time.
Until the very, very end.
Mm-hmm. No. Philadelphia fans are some of the most rabid, what's the word?
I know. My sister's from Philly.
Yeah.
They're like bitter. Like if you don't win, they don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, they'll promote their team.
They'll start foaming at the mouth and stuff like that over there. Like from what I understand, I think the Eagle Stadium has like a real jail and a real courthouse like at the bottom of the stadium for the fight. I saw a guy. Anyway, this is way off, but I did see a guy get punched out in an Eagles game once.
They're rough and tumble. I went to a baseball game in that area because both of the stadiums, Jamar, are beside each other.
Yes, they are beside each other.
And I thought, wow, this is a rough crowd, ladies and gentlemen, for a baseball game. Anyway, basketball, they forced a game six.
Yeah. So awesome. There it is. There it is. Talks of a sweep have ended because there was no sweep. I mean, they were already down by one, but now they've got two under the belt.
Yeah. Right. So they say statistically this has never happened, but there's always a first time that could win.
Exactly.
And finish it off and move on to the next.
And the Raptors are gritty. If anyone could get it done, it's them. And also take that Shaq who thought that we were going to get swept. Ha, ha, ha. We did not.
That's good.
Back to the morning show
with Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Burnout. Yeah, a lot of people may be experiencing a burnout in terms of your capacity to be effective at your job on a physical level and on a mental level. But you might not even realize that you are getting to that point where it might be a moment to take a day off.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever gotten burnt out?
Yeah, I think I have. I think during, and you're going, how could you get burnout when you're broadcasting from home? But there was just a day that I felt extremely tired, felt overwhelmed, felt emotional, and it wasn't because of lack of sleep. And I thought to myself, you know, why don't you just take a break for the next couple of days? I still went to work because I was working from home. But had I done it all over again, I might have done it 2 days off, Jamar, because it was just a lot. Because, you know, you're dealing with work, you're dealing with family, you're dealing with pandemic, all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I have.
One of the signs, they say, of burnout is that all of a sudden you start snapping at people.
Yeah, you're tight with people. You're like, you bark at them.
You bark at them, and then all of a sudden you realize that everything is bothering you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everything that someone says, it seems like everyone's annoying to you, and you're having this conversation in your head.
Yeah.
Gosh, these people are so annoying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And in your head, you think, you know, you're making a good assessment of what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you're burnt out, so you're starting to really criticize and maybe even be a little unpleasant to be around.
You might be. And then you also try to get over, I find sometimes it's a hill or a mountain, and I try to be really better at what I do or at least plugged in, and I can't do it.
Yeah, you don't have
it. I don't have it within me to get to the point where I need to, where I think, give my best, let's say, performance or be my best person to my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I usually go, I'm just going to go take a nap. You know, maybe that's what it is. But it's burnout. It's burnout. It happens to a lot of us. But we've never been able to identify it.
Yeah.
But now we can't. What else are they saying?
If you're not meeting expectations at work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you got things, demands, and you just, you're falling behind.
Right.
Can't meet the mark.
Uh-huh.
And then you're beating yourself up. You're like, I don't get it. What's wrong with me? You might be burnt out.
Yeah.
It might not be that you're bad at your job.
Yeah.
It might be that you're going through something that you need a rest from.
You know, my husband and I have talked about it in the medical world, you know, when, you know, he was going through medical school and, you know, students that he found out that had to take a break. And you never really talked about it because it was all hush-hush. It was like a, maybe like a sign of weakness. But in fact, it isn't.
Yeah.
And so now more and you know, companies are recognizing it. You know, it's not calling in sick. It's like
hey, I need a break.
It's say what it is. Yeah. I'm not okay. I don't know what's wrong.
And I think a lot of people, what happens is you think, oh, well, you know, I'll recharge on the weekend. And then they don't have the chance to.
That's true.
Their weekend is filled with things to do. They have to take care of the kids. They have to clean the house. They have to go get
whatever
groceries.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it may
and
be.
And you know what another thing is? Taking care of your parents.
Absolutely. So many caregivers.
Yes.
So as a result, you get, you know, you have caregiver burnout. Now you're working full time. The list goes on. So that's to your point. That's why sometimes when you take that one day that's not a scheduled, like, weekend day and really use it for yourself, it can really reset. And I also think it speaks to the importance of scheduling some time off if you have it. You know, don't like bulk it up at the end of the year and go, oh my God, if I don't use my vacation, I'm going to lose it. Yeah. Add a couple long weekends here and there.
You know, a long time ago, remember when we had daytimers, or at least we wrote in daytimers if you had one. I remember our friend Joe Rich, who's a family therapist, said, every week, I want you to take an afternoon, because he knew I'd work till about noon, and I want you to put a yellow highlighter. Okay, that means don't even try to book anything. That means, like, it's not about do nothing, but don't book anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a saving grace because when Adam came home from school, my son, I felt like I was a fresher mother, you know, better with coworkers. So, it's an important thing.
Last sign of burnout that you might be exhibiting and not even realizing is that when you go to bed at night, you find it hard to fall asleep because you're in bed all night thinking about work the next day.
Oh, that's
losing
terrible.
Sleep.
Yeah,
that you need to work the next day thinking about work.
Yeah.
That's a bad loop to be in.
Yeah,
and if that's something that you're doing, it might be time to take a break from the whole thing altogether. You might need a little vacation, maybe a day or two.
Yeah.
Little time off.
Talk to your boss.
You know, not something to be ashamed of. Yep. Something to definitely look out for. Mm-hmm. So those are the signs. Being short with people, coming up a little short on expectations, and losing sleep at night.
Yeah, not worth it. It's a sign of burnout, and talk to somebody about it.
Back to the morning show.
Good morning.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
The only way to wake up.
On Chum 104.5.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
Yes.
Check 1, 2. That was ad-libbed. A lot of people don't even know what the word or the term ad-lib means. Ad-lib. Can anyone guess?
Additional liberation.
No, that's a good one. That's
a different libage.
I could see why you said this. I'm glad I took Latin in high school. Ad lib means ab libitum, I believe. Ab libitum. It means like as somebody wanted it to be said.
As somebody wanted to be said. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the way it was supposed to come out in common convention. We use ad lib to mean like something that was kind of freestyled or set off the dome.
Right, yeah.
You know? We want to tell you about some lines in movies that you think were written in, you know, into the script, but they were a complete moment of inspiration by the actor, a moment where they ad-libbed a line and it became an iconic line.
That's interesting,
Yeah.
Boy, the writer must have been ticked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's contentious because, you know, those writers, you know.
I wanted to say this way,
script.
And then the director goes, in this tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yep. Yeah. Ad-libbed lines.
Okay.
All the Spider-Man fans, take a listen to this iconic line.
I don't feel so good.
You're all right.
I don't know what's happening. I don't want to go.
This is from The Avengers when Spider-Man was dissolving after Thanos snapped his finger and half of the whole planet disappeared. Tearjerker, Spider-Man sitting in Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man's arms, and then he starts fading into, I guess, inexistence.
Yeah, they spoke to the directors about this, and they said that he really wanted this to be this horrible, sad, crushing moment.
Yeah,
really gut the audience.
Right.
And so he kept telling Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, I want you to keep going, push this harder. I really want the audience to feel this. And Tom said, the way that I force myself to cry as an actor is I repeat a line over and over again until I start crying. So that's why he keeps saying, I don't want to go. He's trying to make himself cry. Kind of cool.
Well, it worked.
It worked.
I don't want to go. Worked.
That was not even written in the script.
Wow.
And it's one of the most iconic moments of like the entire Avengers franchise.
Wow. Okay.
Let's look at The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Andrea. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants to be us.
Now, it used to be, according to the rumor, everybody wants to be me. But then she, Meryl Streep, who can do anything she wants to, everybody wants to be us.
Us.
And I thought, okay, that little slight, not bad. Because Andrea, was sitting in the car with her and going, no, I don't want to be like you. you're putting me in this group and that's not who I am. And that was the change in what she decided to do for her future.
There it is. Right?
So smart, and that is exactly what happened. And it speaks to the confidence that a director has in an actor and saying, no, we'll go with that one. We'll go with that cut.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go back to Marvel again.
Yeah.
Iron Man. Take a listen to Tony Stark's epic line.
I am Iron Man.
Well, yeah, we know that, but how come that, like, what happened? It was a press conference,
This is a press conference.
Yeah.
Where he just blurted out, I am Iron Man. He wasn't supposed to say it there. And everyone's like, oh, no, it wasn't supposed to be that reveal.
Well, I wonder what it was supposed to be.
He decided at that moment, like, this is how I feel. I am Iron Man.
I am Iron Man. Also, out of exhaustion. Are we done with this?
The flashbulbs start going off, and there it is.
Okay.
One of the biggies, Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic.
Now, that wasn't an ad-lib from him. That was from director Mr. Cameron.
Hmm.
And I can't remember what the scenario was, but he didn't feel whatever the wording was that the writers wrote, it wasn't big enough. So they threw out a couple of lines, right? This, I'm in this. And finally, he said, he yells up to Leo, say I am the king of the world.
Leo probably looked at him like, what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Worked for us, didn't it? Because that is so iconic.
Iconic line.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Chum 104.5.
Get up!
Have you ever bought an artist's stuff, like any of their products?
Probably a t-shirt a long time ago. I don't know, an Eagles t-shirt.
I have an admission to make.
What's that?
I bought a celeb's product, and it was actually really good.
What was it?
You'll never believe this. You're going to be like, what?
Ed Sheeran's tequila.
Nope.
Is it something you wear?
Yes.
Okay. I have no idea.
I bought
underwear.
Paris Hilton's cologne.
Why?
For men.
What?
It smelled good. I liked it. It comes in a blue bottle. I hope someone can confirm this for me. There's a Paris Hilton scent for men. And I bought it once. I was like, I actually really like this. And I was like at one point wearing it a lot. Now, if a bunch of people come in with text messages and say that stuff stinks, I take it all back.
Paris Hilton for men.
I'm telling you.
Look at me looking at you.
Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy, but
Did you hide the bottle?
No, I didn't hide the bottle.
I was expecting a cap or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know
she made it. Did the women just fall?
Oh, my gosh. They were like crowding into my bed. It was crazy. I fathered like 10 kids
that year. They were like, you smell like an unsuccessful music career.
Exactly. That's when she released that song, that mock reggae song, Stars Online.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Did it smell good, though, really?
I loved it. It was really good.
Okay.
I don't know why. It was very random.
They described the note.
Tell me.
Okay, so we're going to get a kick out of
this. She can't describe her nose because they weren't on.
It's a woody aromatic fragrance for men with notes of mango.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Look at that.
Mango, tropical, woodsy.
speaking my language right there.
Is there bergamot anywhere in there? Because I love that.
There's no listing of bergamot, but it's mango, cucumber, and woods.
Oh, that sounds like beachy and woodsy.
Yeah, it was very fresh smelling. I loved it. Good and I you. Was I couldn't believe. I was like, I can't believe I'm actually going out. Because when I finished the bottle, I was like, I need another one of those.
Okay, and how long ago was this?
A few years ago. I mean, it's a pretty old scent now, right?
Yeah. Is she still selling it? You still selling it?
I don't know.
Oh.
But if anyone's looking
now
for
we know.
It. I'm
was
telling
anyone's
you.
First birthday?
You can get it online right now for $15.
Oh, jeez.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Channel 104.5.
Yeah, I'm usually in line with the suggestions and the new things that the people research and to say, you should do it this way. I don't know if I agree with this one.
Oh, I don't think a lot of people do, but it's a unique one, especially if you welcome to the show, step-parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to make those loving bonds with that new person in your life.
Right.
And it's difficult because they probably already have a mother or a father, but they're living with you.
Right.
And you know, those relationships do not form right away. So this is especially towards, I guess, Jamar, stepmoms.
Yeah. Right? The blended family takes time to, you know.
Blend. It takes 5 years. Did you know that? It takes 5 years.
5 years.
For a blended family to blend.
Wow.
And every once in a while, as Joe Rich would say, the family therapist, you're walking down the road, life is pretty good after the 5 years, and then that pebble gets stuck underneath your heel, and you go, whoa, that hurt.
And one of the problems, aside in here with the blended family, is authority figures. A child looks at the parent, stepfather, stepmother, and says, you're not my mom.
That's
you're not my dad, so I don't have to listen to you. And it can create some real big challenges when it comes to things like chores.
Yeah.
And, you know.
The regular day-to-day stuff, right?
Day-to-day stuff, you know, trying to tell them pick up your socks.
Yeah.
Don't leave the food all over the place, da-da-da-da. And according to this professional, the method you should use is what they call the nacho parent method. Not your parent.
Not your kids.
Meaning, I'm not your parent.
I'm not your parent. Not
so
your responsibility.
I'm not going to tell you to do anything. So literally, if it's not your kid, this method says, not your kid, not your responsibility. So if your if the child in this house is leaving things around the house.
Yeah, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So you say to one of your stepkids, because they're not listening, repeated please to take all of 5 seconds to put their dirty cup in the dishwasher. That's all you're asking them to do.
Yeah.
You try the reward system. You know that one. Then threats and then punishments. And, you know, the kid continues to leave their dirty cups, you know, wherever they told you, wherever they did before. So now that's adding to your chore list, and you're getting frustrated. So what do? They say you take a deep breath, accept it isn't your problem to make this child do anything. Walk away from the situation. Are you listening to me, you guys? Stop picking up the cups or cleaning their eventual spills. This is not your responsibility.
I don't know.
Tell your partner.
Yeah.
Jamar, it's your issue. That's your child. It's your issue.
That's your issue.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than you having the argument with the stepchild.
Yeah.
You have tell to the partner and then they have to deal with
it.
I just wonder at what point does the child make the switch in their head that, hey, this is another authority figure in my life.
Yeah.
Might be a new one.
Yeah.
Might not be my biological one.
Yeah.
But this is an authority figure and I need to respect that person. I don't know if the natural parent thing makes sense to me personally, but if there are any parents in blended families right now, you could let us know if this
disengagement.
Yeah, if that works for you.
I know.
Yeah. Literally hands off and saying, I'm not your parent, so you got to figure this out.
I want to call it a parenting style, but it's not really.
Well, here's the other thing.
It's not even a style. It's like not parenting.
You come into this person's life and they have children. Mm. You live together and every other weekend you have them, whatever the scenario might be. You know, you don't want to be the bad guy. Mm. You want to be the person who happens to live with the father who happens to be a friend of yours. You know, like you can have a great relationship. But sometimes I think people don't want to be the heavy because they rarely see their kids, Jamar.
Okay.
So they don't want to be that person that's telling the kid, hey, let's talk about the cup thing, which I think is a great disservice.
I'm thinking from the parent perspective. In a lot of ways, some of this stuff just doesn't sound practical because if the kid is creating more mess in the house for me, then like,
right.
I can't just let that slide. Like, you're actually making my life a little more stressful with what you're doing, and I got to let you know that.
I mean,
And if the other parent isn't really taking control, I tend to hear that happening too, where one parent is like, hey, you're not handling this.
Yeah.
And then now you're stuck doing all that extra work because kid doesn't want to do it and the biological parent is not, you know, putting their foot on the brake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. And you want your children to be welcomed in other people's homes. That's the real key.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what it's all about.
The closest comparison I can make is when I've babysat repeatedly mm-hmm. for, you know, the same child, whether it's a friend's kid or family member, and you start seeing the same type of behavioral issues and it impacts your enjoyment and ability to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. But they're not your kid. So you're like, I don't really want to say anything. I don't want to be the disciplinarian here. It's not my role.
Well, let me tell you guys, nacho parenting is controversial, but it is gaining popularity.
Someone just texted in, wow, I feel like divorce by nacho kid is going to go up in the first 5 years.
That's great. Aww. That's great.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Good morning.
The Chum Morning Show.
Good morning.
Take us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Step parents, are you willing to try this method? The nacho parent method. A bit controversial, but essentially the method says nacho kids, nacho problems.
Yeah.
So if the kid is giving issues, you look to the biological parent and say, you fix that. Yep. That's not my kid. I have nothing to do with it, no matter how bad the problem is.
Not your kids, not your responsibility. That's a tough one.
I'm just through the garage. Nacho kid, nacho problem. I don't know.
So what they're saying is, you know, when something isn't done right, or those day-to-day things, you take a deep breath, accept it isn't your problem, and this is not your child, and put it on the biological parent. What are people saying?
Someone has a middle ground and said nacho parenting sounds kind of ridiculous for the small things, but if it is something serious, both parents, biological, need to deal with it.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, you know, skirt this off to the step-parent. Now, someone else who is a step-parent texted in and said 100% with this movement. I'm a stepmom of 4 stepdaughters and 3 natural children. Not your parent.
A Brady Bunch in there.
A full Brady Bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
They say, not your parent is exactly right. We're happily blended family. Thank you very much.
Okay, so
she's walking fully past 4 kids.
Yeah.
And going straight to the other 3.
Yeah, over to her 3.
Because she's saying, texter, mm-hmm. is that's your responsibility. I live in the house with you with my daughters, but you have to take responsibility, dad or other partner, to take care of your 4 kids.
I don't know. In my head, I feel like the parents are supposed to be united.
They are, but sometimes they're not.
Right? Yeah. No?
They are. It's hard. Listen, I've been, you know, a step-parent. I am right now. And, I mean, she's 30, so that I don't have to parent her.
Nah.
But in the back in the day when I was dating somebody else, it was like, you know, I was told just be their friend and say, hey, you're not cool when you don't put the cup back into the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And if they don't listen to you, you have to tell your partner, and then you kind of walk away in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just throwing this out to you about this method, but I was reading the article and it really was focusing on stepmoms being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But stepdads are too, you know?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We have on the line another parent, Eddie, in a blended family. Eddie, are you a nacho parent or do you have Gouda kids?
I have two kids. One of them is biologically mine, and the other one is my stepson.
Gotcha.
But I call him my son.
Sure.
I call him my son, his face. I don't, it's not behind his back, and I've always treated him the same way I would my right. biological son. And I don't believe in this, okay, well, you're not biologically mine, but I spent the last 10 years with you plus, and I'm just going to absolve myself of any responsibility to you. If you don't step up to let the child know that, look, I'm there during the good times and the bad,
mm-hmm.
then the kid's never really going to respect you, mm-hmm. okay? And you want both sides of the coin to be present, where,
yeah.
you know, when there's something that they do wrong,
mm-hmm.
that you're like, yes, you've done this wrong, please correct it. But when they do something right, you're there to praise them and let them know, look, you did this right.
Mm.
And yeah. It's a great thing.
They don't remember you for saying, you know, Mom, I remember you always telling me to clean up my socks. Nothing Adam remembers that, right? But he remembers when he didn't have his driver's license. Something.
Of course, like. Of course.
That's what we're talking about.
Selective memories.
Yeah, you got to pick the fires, right? Pick the fires. But the thing is, I say this one more time, the reason why I'm doing this is because I want you to be welcomed in somebody else's home. Mm-hmm. Really, that's a good lesson right
All
there.
All right. Wake up,
baby. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. I wake up early. Morning. Wake up on Chum.
Have you noticed that lately when you know, you get a good or a service, you buy something, maybe buy some plane tickets from like Expedia or something like that. And if you need to talk to somebody about maybe making a return or change, or if you do something you're not, you need some customer service.
Yes.
There's no one to call.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It's weird.
It's the new trend, eliminating an actual person to talk to for customer service. Does that annoy anybody? Because that's really starting to get to me. You could text 104536 because now they want you to do these live chats. And I always try, the bank is good for that one, or credit card companies. Mm-hmm. They want you to go on the website and participate in what they call the live chat. But I always try to see, is this really a person? So when I'll get on the little chat window, I'll be like, it'll be like, hi, how may I help you? I'll be like, yeah, great weather we're having today. Because I want to make sure it's a real person chatting with me on the other line.
Oh, and then I got you.
And it'll be like a 5-minute pause.
Yes.
And I'll sit there and wait. And it'll be like thinking, the little dots. And then finally, they'll put someone on. It'll be like,
okay.
Yeah, well, in my part of the world, it's not so bad. I'm like, now we're talking.
Okay.
Because they're always pushing you off to some AI or some kind of automatic system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll say, give us your problem in 3 words, and then you'll have to say it, and then it's trying to find a keyword to push you to a website or a link or whatever. No more customer service.
Doesn't exist.
It's starting to really annoy me.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Well, okay, so that's good. That's a good way of getting around that.
Mm-hmm. Trying to,
because you don't want to give up your information to somebody. But what's happening, too, is, you know, that might have a problem if you're in a car and something happens to the car.
Right.
Like GM, right? Their voice-activated thing. That's kind of customer service, isn't it?
That's good. They've got like that OnStar thing.
Right, OnStar, Tesla?
Tesla.
They have it? I know Whoopi Goldberg was complaining about that the other day.
Yeah, she said it was terrible.
Yeah.
She was like, you can't get a hold of anybody.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the same thing that's happened to me with Uber a ton.
Oh.
Good luck reaching a human life form.
This is when you had a little situation with them and you tried to file the complaint or...
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Had so many people talk about how they were fraudulently charged a cleaning fee for a mess they didn't make in a car and it didn't exist. They have proof of it. It takes so long to track someone down. And the number of times since the pandemic began that I've given up on getting a refund for something and gone right to my credit card provider and said, hey, here's proof that I'm owed this refund, and now you have to have the credit card company battle it out with the person who quote-unquote provided the service.
Yeah.
So it is really bad.
It's very, very bad. A lot of companies are trying to save money by not only just eliminating customer service whatsoever, but if they do, they bring it to some country far, far away where you have like a communication barrier
with
the person you're talking to.
Right.
And you're just like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, I've already given you my money. Serve me.
So do they want you to, email them? Is that what
they want you to email? They try to build these websites where it's like FAQ, frequently asked questions.
Yes. So.
And they're trying to anticipate every single issue that you could have with these list of things. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a particular issue. I like talking to a live person.
Yeah.
I need to get on the phone, tell them what my issue is. They point me in the right direction, and we're done with it. I don't want to have to fish through a website to try to correct a problem that I've already paid not to have.
You know what I love is back in the day when you had a complaint, you know, you were kind of tethered to your phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can walk around with your phone.
Yeah.
And you can get stuff done, and you know you're hearing this really bad music.
Right.
Bada doody, bada doody.
And if you get the earbuds in, I'm like, I'm gonna wait this whole 20
9 hours.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait.
Exactly.
I don't need the phone in my hand anymore.
And now, don't you really remember a good customer service experience?
I do.
Well,
I do.
When I have one, I'll remember it. I'll let you know that.
I'm going to have to shout out Aritzia and Sephora.
Okay.
Who, again, during the pandemic, when every time you called, they were like, other companies were like, we're experiencing higher than normal call volume.
Yeah.
If you have been saying a higher than normal call volume for 2 years, it's time to reevaluate your definition.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Like,
you don't have enough people.
At least change your pre-recorded message.
That's right.
But Aritzia and Sephora were so great. They were on it. They were, you know, happy to help. Really, really good about that stuff. And I just found it made me more inclined to order from them in the future because I knew that if something went wrong, it wasn't going to take up a week of my life.
So when you're spending your hard-earned money and you come into a glitch, The and then you file a complaint. You have to be able to do that, and you have to be able to do that effortlessly. And also, if it's a good experience, you will recommend that service, that company to other people.
I think so.
Why don't people get that? And the other thing is, this call might be recorded. I said, that's great, but let's start the recording now. Somebody pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Oh, I'm famous for that.
Oh.
When I finally get someone on the phone,
right.
I literally ask them, is this being recorded?
Mm-hmm.
They'll say yes. I was like, great, because I've got a lot to say.
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
Celebrities, they're just like us. Sometimes they make a big announcement and say, I'm deleting social media, just to get right back on it less than a week later. Or in this case, one day. So Britney Spears could just not stay off Instagram. She announced her social media hiatus, and then one day later, she's back on the gram.
Funny enough, she announced it on the gram.
I know. What's happening?
I mean, if you're going to announce that you're leaving social media, like, you know, call the Post or something, or call the Sun.
Yeah.
Have them print it.
And again, I always say, don't just leave. Don't tell us.
Yeah.
That too.
Like, and people that are not celebrities do that, make that announcement, go, okay, well, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
Just get off the...
Just leave. Just leave. Go. Take a minute.
Yeah.
Don't make it into a big thing.
Yeah.
And then come back if you want. Yeah. Or don't come back.
But it's all an effort to get attention.
Yes. That's exactly how it feels. And that's why it irritates the heck out of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chrissy Teigen's done this a few times.
Yes, she has.
I can't take it anymore. It's too toxic here. I'm leaving. Yeah. And then, hey, guys, I'm selling a new cookbook. And you're like, hey, Chrissy, just stop announcing it.
Yeah.
Go on your merry way. Anyways, if you like Britney's dancing videos, they are once again available to you on her Instagram account.
No more clothes.
So it's the person most commonly associated now on Instagram with being nude, which is kind of funny.
It's crazy.
I mean, I don't...
It's not hot. I mean, let me not shame her.
I'm not shaming her. No, I know, but you're...
To you, though, your perspective
telling your truth.
Is that you're like...
I'm not looking and going, ew. I'm just like, ugh. It's real past it. It's weird.
You don't like the emojis in place of nipples?
No, I like the nipples.
Okay, that's fair to say. That's not shame. It's like, not my thing.
Yeah, not for you. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's the world of social media. It's all out there and everyone's got a thought on it.
Yes.
Moving over now to Twitter, which has been trending since it was confirmed that Elon Musk has decided to purchase it for a lot of money. I saw a guy on Twitter say, imagine having enough money to buy a small detached house in Toronto and you blow it all acquiring Twitter.
I don't understand.
$44 billion. It seems like a lot.
This is the guy that doesn't own a house, so they say.
That's what he says.
Yeah,
don't you feel like he just likes to say stuff like that?
I think so.
And he gets mad at Twitter, so I think I'll buy it. Why? I don't get it.
Well, he likes it. I think he wanted his Twitter to be like this like hot place for a while, and then he became this self-described like meme lord on there sharing all these memes. I think he really wants it. This is a culture that he really wants to be a part of. A culture he clearly wants to have some serious say in. So he has bought it outright, and Twitter's board of directors accepted his offer of $44 billion yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That translates to about...
I'd accept that too. Thank you.
Well, that's the thing. Of course they're going to say yes. It's a 38% premium on its trading price. So as of April 1st, that was the day that Musk disclosed his 9% ownership stake. So they've made a lot of money for a lot of people.
Sure.
And who knows what he has planned. Now, right now, he says he hopes to bring a number of changes to the platform that include enhancing it with new features. A lot of people think there's going to finally be an edit function. He said he's going to try to eliminate spam bots. I think we can all agree that would be nice. And he said he wants to authenticate all human users and not just celebrities. It's a pervasive issue on social media. These fake accounts, who have a lot of bravado and willingness to say horrible things in the comment section and to bully people and to target them without ever having to be actually identified.
Yeah.
And so if that's something that he wants to, you know, kind of solve, I don't really have an issue with it. Also, I feel like if you look around and you survey the land of social media, these are not charitable groups that are owned by saints. This is Mark Zuckerberg. Like, I'm not saying I don't understand why people aren't criticizing Elon Musk. He went out saying, oh, I'm going to solve world hunger and you can take all my money. Then he never did that. So this isn't an inherently altruistic person, of course, but I don't think that's kind of the world that social media operates in.
Yeah, he hasn't said much about what he's going to do about hate speech, and that's a very big issue.
I
just don't know why he hasn't addressed that. Well, I do know why he hasn't addressed that, because he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and I mean, to that end, what has Mark Zuckerberg done really about it on any of their platforms? What has anyone really done about this? So to me, I'm going to steal one of Jamar's phrases right now, this is a bit of a nothing burger.
Yeah.
For me personally. That's my opinion. I think it's big trending news. I think that there might be implications down the line. We've yet to see what those are. Yeah. And all the people who are like, hashtag delete Twitter, I'm freaking out. I'm getting off of here. I was like, this place has been kind of a dumpster fire for a long time.
Yes.
So I don't really know.
Again, I say this. I asked this question earlier. Will it be around in 10 years, Twitter? I don't know. I think he's a pretty smart guy. Was this a smart investment? I don't think it was. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, we'll see what he does with it. What he has done and used Twitter successfully for in the past is to move the markets.
Yes.
So when it comes That's to crypto, true. When it comes to his companies, he tweets something, everyone responds. Now, that part of the economy, if you look into it and you listen to people who know a lot more about it than I do, that is a little bit unsettling. If it's part of your portfolio, you know some people are going to win, some people are going to lose. I have a feeling he's going to come out financially on top.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. In the morning.
My station.
Chum 104.5.
Don't you miss the old school sitcom? You know.
Which, what do you mean?
I mean, they're a thing still, but they're not as big as they used to be, the sitcoms.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you see So-and-So last night? Oh, my gosh, you missed the episode?
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
I got you.
But there is a formula to sitcoms, and once they start running out of steam or running out of gas a little bit, they do certain things that happen in every one of these shows to try to keep the show a little bit fresh, to keep it on the air. We're going to show you the five ways that sitcoms that are coming to an end try to just give it a little more length. Number one, who can forget when the sitcom adds a cute kid to the cast to give it maybe another season?
And it's random.
Yeah.
Where this kid came from.
It's like, whose kid is that? All of a sudden, there's another kid in there.
Yeah.
One of my favorite examples, who actually turned out to be a big star, Olivia gets added to The Cosby Show.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the show gets another season. Of course, Raven Simone, Olivia.
Yeah.
Like, where did she come from?
That's true.
You know, the parents' kids have a kid, becomes Olivia, and now you've got a little girl with like little one-liners,
so cute.
Really cute.
Oh man,
to give the show a little more steam.
Yeah, it works.
It's cute. And the chemistry with her, with everybody in that cast was fantastic.
Do you remember when the Brady Bunch added the little boy, the little cousin Oliver?
No, I do not.
You don't remember that?
No, I do
it
not.
It was just one little kid who was not one of the bunch of the three kids on the side, and he comes into the mix to kind of, you know, cause mischief and stuff.
Everyone got too old, and they were like, we need this kid.
Yeah, that's what they do. another thing they do with the sitcoms to add a little spice to the show, they add a cool teen. Like, they add like one little guy to come in and kind of be a little heartthrob.
Heartthrob, a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Now, who's that?
Yep. Leonardo DiCaprio was that kid.
I remember this
in
so well.
In Growing Pains. Yes. Do you remember this?
Luke.
Yep.
Yeah.
How crazy.
I know.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Is that Growing Pains? Is that the one with Alan Thicke and...
Yep. Alan Thicke, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stunt casting.
Okay.
So they basically just get someone famous to play a side character in the show. And it's like, oh my gosh, guess who's in this show?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Brad Pitt coming into an episode of Friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what he played? Like, did he play her boyfriend?
He played someone because he was married to Jennifer Aniston at the time. And I think he played someone that she really didn't like, or he really didn't like her. And that
dated the other roommate.
Yeah. That was supposed to be the funny thing.
Oh,
okay. Couldn't stand each other on the show. Yeah.
Do you guys remember Britney Spears coming on for How I Met Your Mother?
No.
I remember hearing about it.
The role of Abby. Can you imagine Britney Spears coming onto a sitcom? That's crazy, but it's crazy enough to work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, here is a classic. These are the ways that sitcoms try to stay on the air.
This is when I know, personally, it is over.
It's done, right?
Uh-huh. I go, oh my God. Go ahead.
When they go to the exotic location.
Yes.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Right?
Modern Family.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Every one of these sitcoms have a Hawaii episode. In Full House when they go to Disney.
It's Hawaii.
Remember the Disney World episode?
Well, Disney. Full House also went to Hawaii because isn't that where they perform with the Beach Boys, where Uncle Jesse?
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. That's when it goes. Man, you guys are running up.
Even as a little kid, I remember watching that and being like, something's off.
because it just
doesn't. You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
It feels weird.
Yeah, it does feel weird.
They're not at the house.
Yeah.
You know, the camera looks a little different. They're running around a park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, nah, not so much. And then when you've got the guest stars that appear as themselves.
Yeah.
For example, one of the best examples from what I'm reading here is Big Bang Theory. They've just had everyone come onto that show as themselves.
But great people that are associated with science or like Star Wars, like Mark Hamill.
Yep.
You know? And then you had William Shatner.
Yep.
Star Trek. Right. Stan Lee, Bill Nye, the science guy. I don't remember Charlie Sheen being on there, but what the heck? Yeah.
Bill Gates.
Carrie Fisher was on that show.
You know who does this a lot is Adam West.
Yes.
Adam West pops up everywhere.
He's like gone now.
Yeah. But he would all of a sudden be on 30 Rock.
He would do that.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh. Because that's tugging at the hearts of the baby boomers.
Yeah. And kind of inherently funny. Like
yes,
OG Batman,
funny.
Kind of.
Yeah,
funny.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
Very funny. You're
exactly.
Right about that.
Well, The Simpsons does this the best because it just becomes a joke line in the show, not really a sign that they're reaching.
But see, that's okay, right? So that works for them.
It works for them because it's part of the comedic style of the show.
Right.
But
you know what? It wrecked it for me for Friends. Tom Selleck wrecked it. That was not normal.
The optometrist boyfriend.
Right.
That's when I went, okay. They're running out of ideas.
They're running out of ideas.
as they
coined in the Happy Days episode, they jumped the shark finally.
Right.
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
The Toronto Raptors pulled off a win. They faced elimination for the second time in 3 days and came out victorious, beating Philly 103-88 last night. That's a good, solid win. Like, that felt really good. So now the series is 3-2, and I'd like to take us back to a moment that I call Take That Shaq, where he predicted that this would not happen at the outset of these two teams facing off against each other.
Philly's going to have a battle with Toronto in that first
round. I agree with you.
No way.
Yes. Have you seen the Raptors?
Have you Toronto's seen? Toronto's getting swept. Write it down. Toronto getting swept.
Okay.
Well, we did write it down, and you were wrong. So take that, Shaq. It was great. Great game. Pascal Siakam had 23 points and 10 rebounds. So, again, the Raptors, you know, they still have their work cut out for them. They face elimination again game 6 in Toronto on Thursday. This is going to be nice. Back here, back in the 6. Very, very happy about that. Also today, Blue Jays are going to play the Red Sox. It's $1 hot dog night, Marilyn. This is very exciting. I know you love a hot dog at a ball game.
Yeah, that's where it belongs. It's just, I mean, I live with it for days, but I don't care. The memory that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I mean, and if it only costs you a dollar, it doesn't feel like quite the...
Guys, let's talk about it right now.
Okay.
What's on your hot dog?
Ketchup? No, sorry. Not ketchup.
Why?
I don't usually put ketchup on it.
I like ketchup and mustard together with a little bit of relish.
I don't mind. I shouldn't say it. It's not always a no, but my favorite combo would be mustard, relish, onion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar?
Mustard, ketchup, sauerkraut.
Got it.
Yeah.
No relish.
I could live without
everything. Hot dog.
Yeah. Sauerkraut.
Really? That's a wow here.
Sometimes they do that.
No, I like it, but it's
do
a,
you?
It's. I mean, I like it as a topping. Yeah. I know that it's a thing. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. Sauerkraut's a commitment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Anyway. Wash it down with a beer and pack it up.
I have a hot dog tonight. Sure. Thank you for the idea.
Okay, good. The Leafs are also going to be playing the Red Wings tonight, so lots going on in the world of Toronto sports. Lots going on in the world of Jeopardy as well. Nova Scotia's Jeopardy champion Matea Roach won her 15th consecutive game on Monday night this week. The 23-year-old tutor earned an additional $32,000. Her winnings have now hit $352,781 U.S. Pretty cool. And while she is from Nova Scotia, she is living and working in Toronto. And I'm just so impressed by her. 23 years old?
Yeah.
What?
No, that's she is, and she really has this great, I would say stage presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very poised. Cool.
I want to know what it takes to be like her. Like, what do you have to do to absorb all that information?
Do you think it's just a better brain, like an inherently better brain?
I don't know if it's the better brain or if you have to stop watching Love is Blind or something. Like, I just need to know what I need to do.
Maybe.
To be in her orbit, to be worthy.
All the
First
holes-
of all, she's 23.
Yeah, there is
It's
that.
Still young.
Crazy.
And it's still taking in information. You're right. Love is Blind would really, really corrode things.
At 23, I was like worried about where my like next dollar shot was coming from.
Right.
I don't think I had it together like that.
Uh-uh.
She She's pretty cool. And she has a 93% correct question answer rate on the show.
Well, that's all right.
She's figured it out. Anyway, so she's going to attempt her 16th win tonight. So that's amazing. And also happening this week on TV, Shawn Mendes. Shawn Mendes is going to be pulling triple duty. He will join Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on Friday. They're doing the monologue. Okay, I thought he was doing the monologue solo. And then I just read online that they're doing it together. Mm-hmm. So I think they're kind of going to riff off of each other. And then he goes and takes a seat. He'll be a guest on the show. And then he's also going to be performing.
That's a big night for him.
It is.
That's a big exposure and big night for Jimmy Fallon, too.
And what was your prediction, Marilyn, that maybe this was?
Warming up for Saturday Night Live hosting and guest starring, like Lizzo did last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be cool. I think he would be a great double duty host and musical guest on SNL. People would love that. And no one's going to complain about looking at some more Shawn Mendes.
Wake up, Toronto. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Wake up.
On Chum.
Talk to you.
I have talked to you. Because I know you love it, and I know your parents loved it, too. Today was the day that Studio 54 opened up in New York City.
Stop it.
Come on.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
You know, the joke I like to say is I did not grow up in the 70s, but my parents tried to trick me to think we were growing up in the 70s.
Right.
Like, I'm like, why do I know all this stuff? I didn't grow up in this era. But they were, like, completely indoctrinating us with this stuff.
Yeah, and you have your dad's albums,
I've got
right?
all my dad's, like, disco records.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty huge. And this
Studio
is like
54.
Studio 54. And the thing is, guys, it's a great story. It's a great documentary you can find on Crave about how these two guys came up with the idea, how they found a location, an old CBS studio that nobody was using on a not such good area of town.
I know exactly where it is.
You know that, right?
Yeah. And it's a great documentary, too. I watched it.
Yeah.
Very
good. So good. And there's just a lot of history. I mean, it came and it went. But, man, who didn't go there? Like, everybody was there. And when you wanted to go there, they'd only let certain people in. It's a great history there. And it really took on the wave of disco music.
And also inclusivity.
Yeah.
You know?
That's very true.
Yes. Also inclusivity. Everybody was welcome to be who they wanted to be in that space. It was a safe space for people who wanted to be as loud, proud, and bright as they wanted to be.
You know, I was talking to one of the women that was dating one of the guys that owned it. I just won't get into that. But her name is designer Norma Kamali.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said there's something about walking through those doors. And those doors, you can hear the thump and the bass. And you open up the doors, you get in there.
Yeah.
You close the door, and no one had a camera.
Yeah.
Except for the documentary that we see. Not a camera, a cup of popcorn, but no one was judging.
And that's the vibe of Ian Schrager's hotels today.
That's Ian Schrager. She dated Norma Kamali.
Okay. Now he's known for these amazing hotels around the world. And when you walk in, it's that same vision. Cool.
And I'll say one more thing about Norma Kamali, who's still 74, 75 years old, still making great fashion. I said, so how often did you go? She said, I think I went once. I said, why? She goes, I was making outfits for the people that would go to Studio 54.
That's funny.
Who had time?
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.